Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We bring in Omar Kelly. Omar Kelly is brought to you by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. This is how it's done. Omar, how you doing tonight, my friend?
I'm good. How are you, Donald?
Doing very well. You tried to warn me about Clemson last week. I was taking the Canes by two touchdowns. You brought me back to earth a little bit, and it didn't go very well in my favor.
Nah, you know, sometimes you just face up against a team. Dolphins are going to be quite familiar with that. That's just out of your league. Clemson, you know, I'm not a huge Clemson fan, but I've known that this is a flawed Hurricanes team. And, you know, yeah, they can get past Notre Dame, but, you know, they could play well against, I forget who else, Virginia Tech. But Clemson is a national championship contending type team, and there's just a different league.
Yeah, and I came out of that game, Omar, and it's not like I didn't realize how good Clemson was, but I really came out of that game feeling like Clemson is championship material for the second straight year. I'm expecting them to win it all again.
I don't know, because I don't follow college football that well, but I just do know well-coached teams, and Clemson is indeed a well-coached team. And for those who follow me for years, you know I'm not a huge fan of Clemson or the talent they've produced, but that was been there. It's been a total transformation of that program, that talent base, and it's something that's worthy of your respect.
Yeah, Omar, for the Miami Dolphins on Monday, and they are coming off a victory, a lopsided victory over Denver. Denver not a very good team. So what were the biggest positives you took out of that, from Kenyon Drake's big night, from Xavien Howard getting two interceptions, from Jordan Phillips making some big plays? How much of those positives last week were sustainable things the Dolphins can build on, and what might have been a mirage going up against a bad team?
Before I even answer that question, I want to dispel the myth that you have that Denver Broncos are a bad team. And here's why. I don't like the I don't like people saying that, oh, they're a bad team. I mean, yeah, there are good teams and there are bad teams, but every team in the NFL is built to be around 500 or built to hover around, you know, get at least five wins. The bad teams are, yes, the Cleveland Browns, they're a bad team. But wasn't Jacksonville just a bad team last year?
Yeah, they were.
Things can change quite quickly, especially since most NFL teams have talent on them. And the Denver Broncos, last I recall, they were picked to win that game on the road against the Miami Dolphins. So Vegas oddsmakers, who are pretty smart at what they do and pretty good at what they do, they said they looked at both of these teams and said, they're equally bad. Let me give it to the team that's on the road.
Hmm.
So what does that mean they think you are?
Bad, really bad.
So, you know, to sit here and say, oh, well, they beat a bad team. Well, no, a bad team beat a bad team, which means that the Dolphins should be proud of themselves for the way that they played. I thought they had an efficient day, you know, on defense. The two safeties, special teams finally showed up, gave you some respectable returns, gave you good favorable field positions, three turnovers, three interceptions. That matches the entire season in terms of what they've had. So
yeah, I think you're right.
You know, any game that you can run the ball, you know, people don't realize this, and I write it all the time, so I don't know how people don't realize this, but the Dolphins have won 10 of 11 games during Adam Gase's watch where his team has rushed for 100 or more yards. That, you know, so it tells me right there that what the formula is: run the football effectively, and clearly, you know, make sure that you produce turnovers somehow, some way. It's easier said than done on most Sundays, but it can indeed get done.
And I was really impressed, Omar, with Kenyon Drake absolutely making the most of that opportunity on the 23 carries. He busted the 42-yard touchdown run, which was awesome. Talk, Omar, not only about Kenyon Drake's future and what that might be, how bright that might be, but how effective he might be against New England this week.
I don't know if he'll be drastically effective from this standpoint. I don't know what to expect from Kenyon Drake. Yeah, we've had three big runs in five games. That's his forte. That's his strength. But what about those every down runs? What, you know, I like a back who gives me 3 or 4 yards per pop, and then he can hit me for a 20 or 40 yard run. What makes me nervous about Kenyon Drake and has me, you know, very hesitant from crowning him is the fact that his teammates and coaches seem to be very nervous. Like today, for instance, you know, we were just writing a fluff job, or somebody was just writing or asking Todd Christensen for a fluff job speech about, you know, what can Kenyon Drake bring to the offense, you know, now that he's going to, you know, he's going to take over for Jay Ajayi. And, you know, and Clyde Christensen begins a comparison, and he's like, well, I don't know if, you know, Kenyon's better than Jay. You know, they've got different strengths, different weaknesses, and, you know, and it didn't sound like anybody who was just absolutely sold on Kenyon Drake.
Right, yeah, he talked about the ball security issues, yeah, the pass protection issues, and I think he said we're not ready to carve him a bust just yet, which,
yeah,
I thought was a good,
exactly,
line.
Oh, it was a great line, you know, but I'm sure Kenyon Drake takes that as a slight to him, and hopefully uses his motivation, because he clearly seems to be that type of dude.
Omar Kelly from the South Florida Sun Sentinel joins us here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. You know, Omar, your take on the Patriots defense, of course, they've been talked about a lot this week, and the fact that there's not as many patterns there with the way that they approach the opposing offense. What kind of looks do you expect them to throw at Miami?
That's an excellent question. They don't do things too complicated, except for when they've got a big old lead, they start to hunt the quarterback and pin their ears back. I expect them to take Jarvis Landry away.
Yeah.
I expect them to focus on making Miami one-dimensional, and I expect them to hunt the quarterbacks. How successful they'll be at hunting the quarterbacks, I don't think so.
What about on the offensive side of the football, Omar? Tom Brady, of course, has made that team great for well over a decade, but no Rob Gronkowski this week.
11 years.
11 years. Sir. But the
I'm sorry. 14.
17. Yeah, I was going to say a little more than 11. It was like 16 years going back to 2001. But I mean, how much does the lack of Gronk impact things, if at all? Because I think they are 20-5 without Gronk since he's been a Patriot. So it's not like they're dropping a lot of games he misses.
They've beaten up on the Dolphins with and without Gronk. I don't know what's going on with Dwayne Allen, but last I checked, when he was at the Indianapolis Colts, he was a pretty competent tight end. I don't think it's going to impact them one way or the other. It's like saying if you took, you know, Mark Clayton or Mark Duper, or you choose, away from Dan Marino, who was going to make him any less of a dangerous quarterback. Right?
Good point.
Really? It really doesn't matter. Like, you can't name me a dynamic receiver that he's played with outside of Randy Moss throughout his tenure. You know, you could say whatever you want about it and all of the other receivers he's played with, but, you know, the greatness of Tom Brady is Tom Brady. And you could twist the facts, you could twist the reality of, You could be a homer and say that, oh, it's, you know, he's not as good as Dan Marino or John or Kelly or Elway, but he'll go down as the greatest quarterback of all time, and there should be little to any debate about that. So does he need Gronk? No. Would he like Gronk? Absolutely. Does he need Gronk to beat the Dolphins? Nah.
And to do what Brady's doing, Omar, at age 40, and it's crazy because it's not like we've never seen a quarterback hit 40 before, but usually by this point you start to see the precipitous decline
yeah,
like you did for
mm-hmm.
Peyton Manning, for example. Do you think Brady is just a one-in-a-million athlete, or does he do something with that diet of his that maybe others can follow and maybe we could see more Brady types in the future?
I think it's the drive and determination that he has to be great, be a legend. You know, I don't think you marry a supermodel without a ton of conviction about who you are and that you're a legend. I think two things play into the fact that he's still great. The 1 year that he's been away from football, I think that aged him. I mean, that prevented him from aging. I think next year maybe we'll start to see him look like he's 40 years old. But, yeah, certainly the diet helps. But I think also the fact that no team really batters and beats him up. You know, he doesn't leave many games looking like Matt Moore did when he played the Patriots, or looking like, you know, like he's facing a Jason Taylor-led team. Because when Jason, you know, played for the Dolphins, he looked like he was going to, you know, he looked like it was a challenge for him, and it really was.
Omar Kelly from the South Florida Sun Sentinel joins us here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. You know, Omar, the last few weeks have not been kind to Devontae Parker and his production. Like, where should Dolphin fans be on him at this point? I mean, it's year three. You were hoping to see that breakout by now.
Yeah, I've been telling people don't sell your stock in Devontae Parker, and this is probably the last week I'm going to say, hold on to that stock, man. It's going to come back at some point. I don't know if it's going to be this season, but I think he's a talented kid. I think he's a talented guy. The biggest question I have is his toughness. And can he fight through injuries and fight through adversity and mentally handle all those challenges that come with the pros? Like, I'm not easy to deal with. Neither are my peers. And sometimes you have to massage those situations. And I really don't think that Devontae Parker, I don't think there's anything lacking outside of mental and physical toughness. And those are two things that should really be your starting point for how you want to build an NFL player.
Does Devontae's continued lack of consistency, because I think that coaches kind of coming out of a really impressive training camp for him really thought that this would be the year he puts everything together. He clearly has not done that yet. Does that help Jarvis Landry's cause to get a better bid from the Dolphins? Are they now more desperate to retain him?
No. I think Jarvis Landry's situation is very clear-cut to me. He's a premier slot receiver, arguably, without a doubt, a top five, arguably a top three. Dolphins are probably going to try to pay him like he's a top three slot receiver, which means somewhere in the neighborhood of $10 to $11 million. Jarvis Landry is going to want to be played like he is an alpha receiver, a top 10 receiver in the NFL. And the question is, when the great divide arrives, which side are you going to be standing on? And I kind of actually know which side I'm going to be standing on.
And what is that?
I think that Jarvis Landry is very deserving of a contract that pays him in the neighborhood of $11 million a season. I think I guarantee him $33 million of his contract. You know, I would want Jarvis Landry on my team.
Me too.
The question is, when you get rid of Jarvis Landry because you want to save cap space, or you want to save, you know, just move the organization into the hands of another player, which, you know, Kenny Stills or Devontae Parker, you're saying that we don't need Jarvis Landry. And in what universe do the Miami Dolphins not need Jarvis Landry? I think that would be a ludicrous thing to say. And, yeah, there comes a point when teams don't want to pay players what they're worth and what they can get on the market value, and that's how the Miami Dolphins have continuously lost talent for the last couple of years. But that doesn't, just because it's the way that it is, doesn't mean it's a healthy way. And I personally believe, you know, when you do things like get rid of Brent Grimes and, you know, and Mike Wallace, and, you know, and you can say whatever you want about their salaries, their wives, their structure, or the contracts, but, you know, dumping good players is not the right recipe for building a healthy franchise. And that's why I'm surprised.
You know, Omar, I wanted to ask you something about Kenny Stills, because you mentioned his name there, and it reminded me of something. And Kenny Stills is the Dolphins nominee for the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. And he really is like one of my favorite Dolphins, both on and off the field, because I see the amazing work he does in the community.
Yeah.
I see his passion for that community service.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that certain fans understand that, because I want to know if you get the same reaction I do, because you're very active on social media, of course. When you even tweet the name Kenny Stills, do you get a dozen responses from people saying, screw that guy, he doesn't stand for the anthem, you should cut him? Because I tend to get that every time I type his name.
You know why I think you get that, and I don't?
Why?
Because you're white.
Oh, that's why. Oh, man, you're probably right about that. You're probably right.
Because I don't ever get any, you know, you might be having a discussion about Kaepernick or you know, whatever's going on social justice scene, and somebody will share their opinions and get on their high horse and tell you what they think and the way it should be, and this is our country, and we want our country back, and that's great. But they don't do that as freely to me, because they know, one, I'll come back at you,
right,
and two, I will expose you in terms of what your views are, or you know, and not to say you have to disagree with Colin Kaepernick. Disagree with Kenny Stills. I heard him today on QAM, and I think you, I love the interview that he did with Channing Crowder, I forget who Channing did.
It was Chris Whittingham with him today.
Chris Whittingham, yeah. Love the interview. And I'll be candid with you, because I'm always candid with you. You always catch me right before turn-up time. And
that's what we do, Omar. That's what we do.
Yes. Me and Kenny Stills did not like each other. Not
really?
That anybody should care.
Huh.
And we really didn't talk before this season, and probably don't. You're not one of those guys I'm going to go up and have a conversation to. I'm not a fake person. So if I don't like you, I don't like you. And if you don't like me, you don't like me. And I can respect that. We just keep our distance from one another. But this year I've watched him grow, because I don't think he came in mature. I don't think he came in, you know, our beef was over some immature stuff. But I've watched him grow and mature to the point where, you know, where those things are a thing of the past. And I thought it was, he's acting this way because he wants to get paid. And I'm wrong. I don't think we really knew him to begin with. And that's one of the things I've always said about players. Like, you know, I don't want to judge anybody until I understand them and know who they are and what they're about. And I thought Kenny Stills, I thought this wouldn't stay consistent. But it has stayed consistent. And these are the things that are in his heart. There are no benefits to what he's doing or you know, making advocacy, because he doesn't even want it. He doesn't even want to kneel. He didn't even, like, I did stories early in the year about why he stopped kneeling, why he didn't want to kneel, and then the day he kneeled, why he felt forced to kneel, you know, and then he's continued to kneel. And, you know, he didn't want to continue to kneel because of the abuse that he took, and because it created so much division, and it was sort of distracting people from the work he was doing. Well, then when Trump tweeted out what he tweeted out, he felt like he had to kneel with his brothers who decided they were going to kneel for the first time. He was like, well, I can't leave them and make them kneel on their own, so I'm going to kneel with them. And then he's continued to do that. That's a guy who's not fraudulent, and I can totally respect that. And, you know, I give him his props for who he is and what he represents, because it's all him from the core.
Great stuff here as always, man. You want to follow Omar Kelly on Twitter, at Omar Kelly. You want to check out his work in the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Omar Kelly is brought to you every week by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. This is how it's done. Omar, thank you so much, man. Well, what do you got planned for tonight? A little Art Basel? What's going on down there?
There is an Art Basel party. It's at the AAA Arena. Oh. It's going to be a dope party. At the stadium place that used to be Bongos. I don't remember what it's called.
Oh yeah. I don't know. I didn't even realize it wasn't Bongos anymore. That's how behind I am.
Yeah. It's going to be a dope party. So I'm definitely going to check that out.
Well, I appreciate it, Omar. Great work as always, my friend. I'll see you at the game on Monday night.
All right. Talk to you later.
Love it. Omar Kelly from the South Florida Sun Sentinel.
Oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!